Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your purpose working out through time. And we ask that as we turn to your word now, you would help us to grasp it more completely and see its implications in our lives and in your world. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, have you noticed how some of the best things in life start small and then grow into something special? A journey to a special destination starts with one step. Many successful businesses start with just one small room. An example of that is Mattel, who make Matchbox cars and Pictionary and Barbie dolls, and is now the biggest grossing toy company in the world. It began with two friends in a garage making dolls' houses from picture frame offcuts. Human beings are another example. Very tiny beginnings inside a mother lead to a baby being born who can then grow into an adult over many years. Good things start small, sometimes with difficulties, even tears, but can then grow and lead to joy and laughter. Well, our reading from Genesis is an example of something great starting from something small. In the very first book of the Bible, we discover why our world is as it is. God had made the world good, but we human beings have turned away from him. And that means that there are lots of things that are broken in our world. Connections between human beings are broken, and we don't always get on. Connections between groups and countries are broken, and there is sometimes even war. Connections between humans and our planet are broken, so we spoil it and pollute it, and there isn't always enough for people to eat. And what's more, connections between God and people are broken, and God seems very distant. Yet because God is generous and good, there are still many good things to enjoy in life. And yet in many ways, God's world, because of us, has its fair share of tears. But as we heard in that reading from Genesis 15, God was getting ready to do something about the situation that we have caused by our turning away from him. God was going to make all the wrong things right, and he was going to do it through a family. God called to himself Abraham, and he spoke to Abraham, as we read verse 1, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great." But he said, "O Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, someone who works for me, not a member of my family." And then verse 4, God spoke again to Abram. "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And then he brought him outside and he said, "Abraham, how many stars do you see in the sky?" God was about to tell him a wonderful secret. Guess what? God smiled. "So shall your offspring be. I will give you so many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you won't be able to count them either." Now, it's as if Abraham couldn't help chuckling at such a wonderful idea. But he stopped himself. How could he have a family? Don't be silly. He didn't have any children, let alone grandchildren. Anyway, it was far too late for him to start having babies at his age. He was 99 years old. What could God mean? And yet, God wanted Abraham to believe his promise. God told Abraham his secret rescue plan. "Abraham, I will make your family very big, until one day your family will come to number more than even all the stars in the sky." Now, Abraham looked at the dark night sky, thick with stars. And he remembered what God had said to him before. "You will be my special family, my people, and through you, everyone on earth will be blessed. It was a remarkable promise. God was going to rescue the world through Abraham's family. But, Abraham thought, it seems just too wonderful. But he realized that with God, nothing is too wonderful. So Abraham put his confidence in what God had said more than in what his eyes could see. And he believed. And we read in verse 6 of Genesis 15, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." Because he relied on God's promise, he was put right with God. He was made a friend of God. Well, we'll come back to that. Now, when Abraham's wife Sarah heard God's promise, she just laughed to herself. But it wasn't a happy laugh. It had tears in it. She'd always wanted a baby. Could her dream come true? Could she really have a baby when she was 90 years old? Of course not. Don't be silly. It was far too late. Sarah didn't believe God could do what he promised. She'd forgotten that when God says something, it's as good as done. But of course, it was as easy for God to have Sarah have a baby as it was for him to make all the stars in the sky. Sure enough, 9 months later, just as God had promised, Sarah gave birth to a baby boy, and they called him Isaac, which means son of laughter. And Sarah laughed. But this time it was a happy laugh. Her dream had come true. God would do as he promised. He wants to rescue people and mend the broken things of the world. And it all began with Abraham's family. Now we can see this better than Abraham or Sarah could. Because many centuries after Abraham, God would send another baby. This baby, one of Abraham's great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, he would be the promised one, the rescuer. He was a baby promised to a girl who didn't even yet have a husband. But this baby would bring laughter to the whole world. This baby would be everyone's dream come true. Who was the baby? Well, of course, we all know. Abraham believed God's promise, and it was considered by God as righteousness. He was made God's friend because he simply relied on God's word. Now, when we hear this, it's easy for us to think that Abraham was someone of great faith, and we are simply not like that. But that is to confuse our feelings with what faith is. One, I think, of the most important Yorkshiremen who ever lived was a man called Hudson Taylor. He was born in Barnsley in 1832. Now, when Hudson Taylor was 17, he read a short booklet which made all the pieces that he had heard and learnt about God fit together. And he put his confidence in Jesus. And he realised that others needed to do the same. Well, he quickly developed a real concern for the people of China and decided to go and share the good news of Jesus in that huge country. Well, to prepare himself, he started to learn Mandarin to speak to people in their own language, and Greek to better understand the Bible. And to understand people better, he moved to Hull. Hudson worked as an assistant to a doctor in the town centre and lived in a very poor area nearby. Later, he went to London to study medicine, and then in his early 20s, he set sail for China. Now, life was often very tough for Hudson, but he kept going, providing vital medical treatment and working with many others to share the good news of Jesus with people who had never heard of him before. And he did this with great respect, dressing in Chinese clothes and with a Chinese hairstyle, and with great patience and self-giving service. He gave himself to the task. Now, one historian said of Hudson Taylor, he was one of the greatest missionaries of all time. and one of the most influential foreigners who came to China in the 19th century for any purpose. And now, many millions in China and elsewhere know his name and benefit from his legacy. On the 100th anniversary of his birth, Hudson's son and daughter-in-law wrote a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And they explained that in everything, Hudson relied on the fathomless wealth of Christ. In other words, it was not that Hudson Taylor had great faith in God, but rather that he had faith in the great God who sent Jesus into the world to save us. Do you see the difference? Having faith is not about us being anything special, but rather about God being very special, and us, with however little confidence we have, putting that in God, who is himself the great, powerful, and rescuing one. So as we hear of Abraham in the New Testament, as we read in Romans 4, we hear these words. The words righteousness was counted to him were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. Righteousness, being put right with God, will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. See, Abraham becomes an illustration and an example for us. He points us as to how we can become part of what God is doing in the world, bringing something great out of small beginnings. How we can be made friends with God, put right with God, and be strengthened in our lives to share in his purpose. And what we see is that all we need to do is put our faith, however little we have, in the great Jesus, who was delivered up to deal with our sins and was raised in order that we might be justified, put right with God. So as we think of Abraham and his story, have we put our faith, however weak, in the promise of God? And are we continuing to look to Jesus as the one who can give us what we most need in our lives? You see, the best things in life often start small and then grow into something special. And God's plan to rescue many, many people and bring them into connection with him began with one man, Abraham. And now through Jesus, it has reached to an uncountable number, like the stars in the sky. And God has done it all. What we need to do is put our confidence in what God has done in Jesus. And he brings acceptance with God, makes people friends with God, puts us right with God, makes us clean before God, and draws us into being part of his great purpose in his world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are working out your purpose. We thank you that you humble us by doing things in a way that we wouldn't predict, starting even with someone like Abraham. But we thank you that he pointed forward to Jesus. We thank you for all that he has done. And we pray that as we share bread and wine in a few moments, you would build our faith in him. You would help us to put our confidence in what you have done in your Son, that you would strengthen us, and that you would equip us as we work together to make this great news known to others too. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.